Babaji is saying, when you give up all material arguments and doubts, and when you chant the holy names day after day, then after a few days, genuine spiritual understanding will rise in your heart. As long as those material arguments remain, your mind will stay in the shackles of material understanding. When you taste the nectar of the holy name, the material shackles will become loosened. Then the spiritual world will be gloriously manifested in your heart. Lahiri, please be merciful and tell me about that I desire. Babaji, the mind and words cannot understand it. Only when one attains the bliss of spiritual life can one understand it. Give up all your arguments and for a few days chant the holy names of Lord Hari. Then your doubts will go far away. Then you will no longer ask any question of anyone. Yeah. So the mind and the words will not be able to understand because they are, how do you say? In other words, the intelligence and the mind are material. And so then the difficulty comes is that we're trying to use something material to understand something spiritual. So we're using an inferior tool to try to learn about something else. So the difficulty comes, you know, it'd be like using a barometer to figure out, you know, how hot something is, or, you know, what it smells like, or it doesn't match. So the main thing is, as he's pointing out, is that by intellectualizing, we will not be able to understand. So one needs to practice. By practicing, then one will get an understanding. That is basically what's being mentioned. So if we chant, we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, then we'll start to understand. Because unless the mind becomes spiritualized, the intelligence spiritualized, then you can't. Because Krishna consciousness means, how you say, rasa is a matter of experience. It's not something you can intellectualize about. Like we can't tell you, okay, we want to tell you what an apple tastes like. You know, so you say, oh, it's a little sour, and it's a little sweet, and a little like this, a little that. And then you'll understand it and realize what an apple tastes like. No, you have to taste the apple. But you may have to use the intelligence to get us to agree to it. Like we see this apple, what is this? I've never seen this before. You know, is this apple like a samosa? You know, it says no, very different. You know, fresh, this, that. You know. So then. We have to taste. So that is the... Lahiri, I know that a person who has faith in Lord Krishna and tastes the nectar of his holy names attains the highest of all goals. And I have well understood the relationship of the Lord and the individual soul. I will take shelter of the Lord's holy names. Babaji, that is the best of all. Understand well your relationship with the Lord and you will directly see the spiritual truth. The whole process that we're trying to establish is relationship. Is that right now we have relationships backwards. We don't see properly. We're trying to put ourselves in the position of God. And God we cut out of the picture, but his energies and we try to enjoy. So God enjoys his energies, so we're trying to enjoy his energies. So then the problem comes is that we see ourselves, we see the energies. And as the controller and enjoyer, how we are feeling, then we see the energies are there for us to enjoy. So then that's the relationship. And we are very happy in pursuing that. We try very hard to enjoy all these relationships. But the difficulty comes, it's not working, we're not happy, we're not satisfied. So having a doubt, then we're thinking how to become satisfied. So then we see, is when we have to see is that, oh, God's in the picture. Like that. So then the first thing is, okay, God's in the picture, and, you know, he's enjoying his energies, and we're enjoying his energies. But it still doesn't quite work. So we can't figure out why is it that, you know, it's not working. Then we can take the next step, okay, I'm servant of God. So then we are servant of God, but we are also enjoying his energies. So then we see sometimes it's nice, Krishna consciousness is nice, sometimes then there's so much trouble, and then we're thinking maybe something's wrong with Krishna consciousness, because we're supposed to gain happiness from our activities. Our activities are supposed to create material happiness, right? Because of lack of, because materially we've had problems, anxieties and other disturbances, not finding any other shelter, then we turn to God. But our motive in the beginning is that God will work out the material problems, so we'll be materially happy. So Krishna consciousness, the result should be material benefit. But then when we find that's not working, then we start to have to reassess the relationship and see that actually Krishna, He is the Supreme Lord. He is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. We are the enjoyed. We're also energy. So then everything becomes focused on Him, Krishna. Then the relationships start to work. Then it works good. But before that, then there's a problem. So So here when he's saying that one should understand material relationships, I mean understand relationships, that's actually the whole key to the spiritual life. One gets situated properly when one understands relationships, you know, what they actually are, what's the factual position. So here he's mentioning that aspect must be established. And if that's done, then basically the rest of it will start to work. Because unless you establish the relationships, then the rest of it you can't establish. If you haven't established the relationship between you and an object, then you can't have a goal of a relationship. And if you haven't established something between you and something else, there can be no purpose to be achieved. And if there's no purpose to be achieved, then there's no activity to perform that, to get that purpose. Right? So until relationships been established, then there is no activity, there is no results, nothing happens. So in spiritual life, that's the first thing. We always see Krishna is always, we are servant of God. Krishna is God, we're not, and we're His servant. And then we are to serve Him. And the goal is pure love of God. Then we see it starts to work. So he's making this point is that you've understood the relationship with the soul and God. That will then start the whole devotional process. Then you can start to taste the relationship. Because any taste we get is from a relationship. Right? If we find something, we do something, and we don't like it, means there's no taste. You know, or there is some taste and it's bad. We put that in that way. Ourself and another person, then if the interaction was nice, then we say it was good taste. Right? And if it wasn't good taste, then we are not interested in that relationship. Or if there's no relationship at all, you go someplace, nothing's happening, you get bored. Bored means there's no relationship. Right? If you're in a situation where you're bored, means you're not connecting yourself with what is going on around you. Like let's say you're sitting somewhere, you're doing something, or doing nothing, and you're bored. You're waiting in a bus stand, and you're bored. It means you're not connecting yourself with anything there, you know, because the bus is after some time, so your connection is with the bus. It's not happened yet. But if you find something else, you find it, okay, you're looking at all the interesting people go by, and that's something interesting, then you could establish relationship with all the people going by based on, we'll just see what they do, you know? Tall people, short people, how they walk, how they think, you know, all the different things. And then you're very happy, you're not bored, because you've established a relationship. You know, observing these people, all their mentalities, and then from that, whatever it is, we'll gain from it. We either are learning something from it, their mentalities, or we're just enjoying seeing the variety, but then we're not bored. Right? So then relationship is the whole process. So one has to establish relationship first. That is the first thing. So Prabhupada then emphasizes that point. Lahiri, I understand the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate form of the Supreme. The impersonal Brahman and the Supersoul are subordinate to Him. He is all-pervading. In the spiritual world, he manifests his wonderful form. He is a person. He is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. And he is the master of all potencies. Even though he's the master of all potencies, he is always overcome with bliss in the company of Asladini Shakti, pleasure potency. Now tell me about the individual spirit soul. So here has just been a summary in this paragraph of Krishna and the relationship of the souls with Krishna. Krishna, he's the Supreme Lord. He is the source of Brahman and Paramatma. He is the full manifestation of Godhead. Others are partial. So he is the absolute truth. Then the next is that all kinds of energies are coming from here. He is the master of all potencies. That's the second of his qualities. The third is he is the ocean of rasa. And then it's mentioned here. He is always overcome with bliss in the company of Asladini Shakti, pleasure potency. So now, up to this point, then the relationship with Krishna and the position of the souls and everything that has been established here. So this is, it's a very, very nice presentation of Lord Chaitanya's Dasamuh, like that. Babaji. Among the limitless potencies of Sri Krishna, one is called Tatastha Shakti. Position between the spiritual and material, this potency can reside in either of them. This potency is also called Jiva Tattva, the individual spirit souls. The individual souls are tiny particles of spirit. Because they are tiny particles, they may attain bondage in the material world. Right, it says here, they may attain. However, because they are pure spirit, they also reside eternally in the supremely blissful spiritual world. The individual souls are of two kinds. Now we're moving on to the next, because in Sambandha, in the Dasamuh, there are seven parts. The first three are about Krishna. He's the absolute truth. He is the Lord of all potencies, the source of all potencies. He is the ocean of rasa. The second is then, there's then the second part of the of group within the seven is about the jivas. So jivas then are conditioned and liberated. And then we have the material energy that'll probably come after. And then there's the relationship between all of them. That's a Chintaveda-Veda Tattva. So right now he's going, he's finished now establishing Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth and his position. So now we're doing the souls.
What's the difference between he is the Absolute Truth and he is the source of all potentials?
Absolute Truth means he's God. You know? He's the Lord of everything. And then from him expands all potencies. These are all the same thing, but there's just different angles of it. You know? Like that. It's just different understandings of the same thing. It means knowledge is only Krishna. Right? Taste is only Krishna. But there's variety within that. So how to see all these different things, that is what is that. Does that make sense? The individual souls are of two kinds. One, souls who reside in the spiritual world, and two, souls in bondage who reside in the material world. Souls in bondage in the material world are of two kinds. One, intelligent, and two, unintelligent. Birds, beasts, and human beings who do not strive to attain the supreme goal are the unintelligent, materially bound souls. Human beings who follow the path of the Vaishnava religion are intelligent. They who are not Vaishnavas do not actively strive for the real goal of life. Therefore, the scriptures declare the service to Vaishnavas and association with Vaishnavas are the best of all activities. Intelligent human beings who have faith in the scriptures and chant the holy names of Lord Hari naturally associate with Vaishnavas. They who are not intelligent do not have faith in the scriptures and do not chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, even though they may serve the deity form of Lord Krishna according to the rules passed down through the disciplic succession. In their hearts, such intelligent persons do not properly honor Vaishnavas. So now we have there's some fine points coming here, and these are could be possibly these points must be understood also very finely. If they are understood in a gross way, we get trouble from them. Like a knife. Knife is a fine thing. It can do fine work. If you don't use it right, you'll get very badly cut. So here is pointing out that those who are progressive on the path to go back to Godhead, they're intelligent. Those who are not interested in that are unintelligent. Like that. So then in here, then it also meant, so those who are intelligent associate with Vaishnavas. Those who are unintelligent don't associate with Vaishnavas. Then he goes, so then now in our mind, yes, of course, there's the devotees and then there's all those nasty, stinky, smelly demons. Right? But here he says, even though they are worshipping the deity, but according to the rules passed down through disciplic succession, here is the fine point. This is meaning Kanista Adhikaris, who don't value the association of devotees. Very serious point. So if someone is a devotee, they're initiated, all this, but they can't associate with devotees, they're considered unintelligent because they're not progressive. They can say they're devotees. They can stand on an apple crate and talk all day that they're devotees. But if they don't associate with Vaishnavas properly, they will never go back to Godhead. So, therefore, the position of devotees is weak. Now, this is for the purpose of one's own personal understanding. This is not for the purpose of of going, yeah, just see, all along I knew those guys weren't devotees. Then the person who says that, he is in the same category. So this is what we mean about the knife. You know, is that to be able to understand how to choose association. In other words, those who criticize devotees, have difficulty living with devotees, don't value the association of devotees, those persons you shouldn't take as your intimate association. You know, by service, this, that, you may work with them, fine, because at least they're Vaishnavas, they're accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord, they worship the deity form, they follow the rules and regulations, or maybe not follow so strictly. But for them, association of devotees is, you know, devotees this, ISKCON that, leaders this, that. These persons are not good association. Though it is popular, it is modern, it is new age, it's free expression, yes, but it's the free expression of unintelligent persons. There's no rule that unintelligent persons can't have, you know, free thought and free expression. Like that. That is there. Even the dogs are allowed to bark. Right? Everybody's allowed their free expression. Right? So, therefore, the Vaishnav understanding does not disallow. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But, depending upon if Vaishnavs are valuable to them or not, then you decide whether they're intelligent and you try to gain their association, or they're unintelligent and you're careful about their association. This is a fine point. Because we always have to remember, there's no such thing as black and white. There's always a gray patch in the middle. Everything is like that. Like that. You have night and day, and it doesn't just that it's full bright sunshine and then bang, someone turns off the lights and then it's dark. And it gradually fades out, and then it comes and gradually fades in. You're very hungry, and then, you know, you just sit down, put one mouthful in your fat, and boom, you're just stuffed. You know? No, it gradually, you become full. You know? You're there fully awake, and that, and just, you're out cold. No, it, gradually you go, gradually you wake up. You know, you want to, you're doing one activity, you want to do another activity. You're not just suddenly doing it. There's something that goes in between to get to it. So you have to remember there's always this overlap. So there's always the overlap of taking up devotional service and becoming serious in devotional service. And in that overlap, then we might find all these little difficulties that are there. It's natural. It's understood they'll be there. But the point that's being made here is for the individual to not become proud. Just because one is on the path, one has taken up the disciplic succession, one is worshipping the deity, if one is proud, then there's a difficulty. So that is what's being pointed. Because here, this is instructions for Lahiri, for himself. We've seen up to now, it hasn't been how you are going to preach and deal. No, this is how you yourself are going to understand. Says here, even though they serve the deity form of Lord Krishna according to the rules passed down through the succession, in their hearts such unintelligent persons do not properly honor Vaishnavas. So between the intelligent and the unintelligent, there's a group who we would call Vaishnavas, who at the same time are actually unintelligent because they don't properly honor Vaishnavas. Right? So we can see is that the modern trend of modern society is to disrespect authority. So we can see is that, though previously, you go back some years, it was the natural thing. You had to respect authority. You go back, you know, so many years, 50 years, 100 years, it was just an understood part of mundane society. But because the mundane society has changed, and, you know, devotees many times feel the need to be in the contemporary mood, you know, to be of this world instead of just in the world, so then they become affected by this. But we can see here is it's a disaster, right? It will not work.